Now, state Democrats are becoming increasingly hopeful for big gains in the November midterms. After the party flipped a state Senate seat in western Wisconsin that had been seen as safely Republican, Milwaukee County Judge Rebecca Dallet won this week's state Supreme Court race. It was the first time a liberal candidate had won an open seat on the court in 23 years. That's on top of Democratic wins in parts of the country that went handily for Donald Trump in 2016. Governor Scott Walker tweeted a warning on Tuesday night that Wisconsin is on the verge of a blue wave this fall, which could spell trouble for his bid for a third term in office. A while back, we talked about the potential for a blue wave with former conservative radio host Jerry Bader. Now, former Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist Eugene Cain says the people of Wisconsin have had enough of Walker and state Republicans. He's a regular contributor to The Week in Review on WPR's morning show. Eugene, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the invitation.
Well, tell us why you're feeling pretty good about the chance of a blue wave this fall.
Well, I had to couch that in terms of I actually am not feeling all that good. I mean, because it's so, politics is such a particular thing to try to, you know, predict. I think I'm optimistic. I don't necessarily think a spring election like this one just happened in Wisconsin with the state Supreme Court is that great of an indicator as what might happen later on. Although it's enough to get people encouraged. I think I understand, especially after following politics these last few years. I mean, look at what happened with Trump and Clinton. To try to go out on a limb and predict anything these days is pretty precarious. But I do think it's curious that the people talking about the blue wave are the GOP, the Republicans. Scott Walker used it in his tweet. And it's almost like he's given it more publicity than anybody else is. So now it might be a self-fulfilling prophecy that there is a blue wave. So that's something to look at.
I'm not going to try to pin you down to call how many seats will go one way or the other, but let's break down maybe pros and cons. First of all, four signs of that blue wave for big wins for Democrats in the fall. What are you seeing as signs pointing in that direction as a possibility?
Again, I look at nationally, there's a lot of excitement over the races that switched, you know, from red to blue. The places that had voted for Trump ended up unseating, you know, the challengers, and a lot of them were very, you know, highly publicized. Roy Jones, the one in Pennsylvania, I believe. My sense is that this is a very large country. So these isolated cases, they can be used as indicators, but until you get really large numbers, I would be wary of saying that that's a case, that's a sign of how everybody is going to go. But I do think there is definite movement from just a ground level of dissatisfaction in all the places that voted for Trump, and I don't think they're all real politically not savvy, but I don't think these are all people who, like, live and breathe politics. They voted for Trump because they felt he would make their lives better and would, you know, maybe be an improvement. I think maybe his poor performance has hurt his credibility in those areas, which opens up, you know, a window of vulnerability for anybody who decides to run against a conservative or a Trump Republican.
I want to give a listen now to Governor Walker talking about some of his concerns and then the case that he hopes he thinks Republicans should be making. Here's a listen.
There are good things happening in the state. I think if we get that story out, people are going to respond. I think people want to vote for something, not against something. A lot of what I've heard in the last few months are what people are against. I think people want to hear what you're for. What are you going to do that's going to make life more positive for me and my family here in the state of Wisconsin? I think we got a great track record of accomplishing those things over the last few years and a great vision about where we're going to go going forward.
And Governor Walker has pointed to a historically low unemployment rate in Wisconsin as an example of that. Is that something that you think Republicans are going to be able to sell and maybe not be a victim of a wave, even if it's going on elsewhere in the country?
See, that's one of the puzzling things about Walker, in that he tries to tout his policies, but he tries to make it as though, well, nobody knows we're doing these things, which seems to me, if he were really doing things at a real, you know, effective level, there wouldn't be any question whether people's lives were being improved. I also think something like his jobs record, I've always been just curious to me that you keep hearing him talking about such low unemployment in Wisconsin, everybody has jobs, yet he pushes something like this draconian job drug testing program, which essentially seems like it wants to weed out people from getting jobs. And it makes you wonder, you know, why, if there's such low unemployment, why is he trying to make it harder for some people who, just due to their personal, like, weaknesses with something like marijuana or something, make it harder for them to get? It's just, I don't think he's really on the right track in a lot of his policies, and a lot of people see through that. I think they're asking the same questions I have about, if he's really such a successful governor, why is it particularly recently all we hear him doing is touting his record and comparing it to somebody like Tony Earl, who, my God, how many years has it been since Tony Earl was governor?
Talking to Eugene Kane, former Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist, looking at the prospects for a big Democratic wins in Wisconsin this fall. He says he sees some positive signs. Not betting big amounts of money on it, though. Still a lot of time between now and Election Day. You can join in with your thoughts, hopes, and fears for Wisconsin elections this fall at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Cindy is with us in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, I don't think Walker's taking enough credit for his unpopularity. I mean, our environment, since he's taken over, has just gone to heck in a handbasket. I know they're trying to sell this Foxconn as a great deal, but most of the citizens of Wisconsin are not buying it. Our education system's taking a hit. They're picking on the poor all the time. Our roads are going to heck. I mean, the list just goes on and on. He's just done, I think he's done more damage to the state, and I'm hoping that the people of Wisconsin are finally waking up and smelling the coffee.
Cindy, thanks for the call. And Eugene, that's some of what you were talking about there with the enthusiasm on the Democratic side and maybe frustration with Governor Walker's series of wins along the way.
Well, I think, who is it, Cindy? I think she nailed it right there. I mean, my frustration with people who still want to try to convince you that Walker is doing such a great job, they point to things like Foxconn, which, I mean, I'm one of these people who really still does not believe it's going to be as many jobs as they promised. I think there's no real need to gloat about it right now if you're a Republican, because all it's doing is taking money out of Wisconsin's pocket. To this date, there's really no real sign that with Foxconn is going to be a boon for the average Wisconsin worker, because I don't think anybody has even gotten a paycheck from Foxconn yet as a worker. Maybe as a consultant or a higher-up, they probably have all been paid. But, I mean, the attitude that it's going to be 13,000 jobs, I mean, I've heard things like, because there's going to be automation and robotics and Foxconn, I mean, it might never get to be 13,000. So, and she points out the things that he's been so hurtful in terms of education. He gives a bunch of money back in education in his last budget, but that's only to kind of mask the fact that he took so much from education in the first place. He gave a little bit of money back to Obamacare healthcare network in Wisconsin, but that eliminates the fact that he's still, you know, trying to work to hurt Obamacare recipients. So that's the dissatisfaction I think is coming out that will lead to whatever kind of blue wave people are predicting.
In that clip we played from Governor Walker, he said people want to vote for something, not against something. We heard Cindy there, and we've heard others definitely critical of Scott Walker. But do Democrats, you think, Eugene, have something that they're, you know, making the case for? That do they have a positive message to get people to vote for them?
Well, clearly you can't just do anybody but Walker, because that's always a trip in any election. It just base your whole campaign on just not this guy. But I do think where Walker has gone wrong, and I think is a valid criticism, most of his statements, like this anger and hatred tweet that I'm sure you've been talking about that he did in response to the loss in the state Supreme Court, that's sort of like a message that, well, anybody who isn't voting for Republicans or the GOP, you guys are all angry or hateful. And that's toxic in my mind, and you just got to get away from that. But yet, that's where he's at now. That's his latest statement on this. He thinks anybody against him is motivated by anger or hatred. And again, to your initial question, I don't think we can just vote against him as a matter of fact without offering something more positive. But clearly anything would be more positive than saying that anybody who's against you is motivated by anger or hatred.
We're talking to Eugene Cain about whether Democrats are poised for big gains in the fall midterms. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Wisconsin is on the verge of a blue wave, big Democratic gains this fall? Would that be good news or bad news as you see it? If you're a Democrat, are you feeling motivated to vote? If you're a Republican, how about you? Call in at 800-642-1234. And how do you feel about Governor Walker's chances of reelection, Tammy Baldwin's chances of reelection, what's going to happen in the state legislature along the way? And does Donald Trump enter into the equation here? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We're talking about the potential for a blue wave election this fall with Eugene Cain. He's a former columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see Democrats winning big this November in Wisconsin, or do you think Republicans can make a case that they should hang on to power in the state? Will Governor Walker be reelected? Do you think people should be talking about Donald Trump, Republicans or Democrats in this, or should we be focused on the state? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Back to your calls now. Jim is with us in Richland Center. Jim, hi.
Yeah, hi. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. What do you want to bring up, Jim?
I want to bring up the fact that, well, I'm a 73-year-old white man, an old white man. The reason I bring up the fact that I'm white is that before being governor, Walker was the executive of Milwaukee County, and now he's governor. Effectively, he's been in charge of Milwaukee County for over the past decade. During that time, Wisconsin has been labeled as the worst state out of all 50 to raise a black child. Milwaukee County has some horrific statistics. Over 40% of the children in Milwaukee County are below the poverty level. One out of five children in Milwaukee does not know if and when their next meal is coming. I want to know what this man has done for minorities and poor people across the state. I'm basically ashamed of the state to have this type of a label. That's not the way I was raised. I don't think that's the way most Wisconsin people think.
Jim, thanks for the call. There's a lot going on behind that story, but probably hard for anybody to put that all on one person. But that said, Eugene, what do you think of Governor Walker when it comes to people of color and racial disparities in the state?
Well, I actually covered Scott Walker when he was Milwaukee County executive, which led to his rise to being governor. And I think that he was always perceived as kind of aloof in the black community, and that he wasn't really someone you could go to for any, you know, African-American causes unless he saw something that was in it for him. And even afterwards, you couldn't really get him to commit to anything. So I understand what the caller is talking about. And I understand that there are a lot of white people who don't think that you can be that aloof from the black community. But essentially, because the GOP in Wisconsin has let themselves be, you know, perceived in this niche. I mean, just look at the number of, you know, GOP black elected officials are there. Are there any? I'm pretty sure there's some. I think I've met a few. But, I mean, that's no surprise that a party with very little African-American participation or African-American membership would not be someone that's trying to actively improve the situation for a lot of African Americans. And Walker, the problem is that in Wisconsin, even though I live in Milwaukee and other people live in Madison and that are more diverse communities, there's a lot more of there's a lot more of this state that is predominantly white, which doesn't mean that they're racist or anything, but they don't have much interaction with minorities. So in a lot of ways, they don't see minorities' interests as being high on their priority list. And it's not that much different from a whole lot of other states in this country. And it's one of the things we have to continue to try to deal with. Remember that just because you don't see a lot of minorities around you in your community, there are still policies and things like that, which we all really have in common, to tell the truth, that need to be addressed. So I understand. I think I understand what he's saying. But, I mean, Walker, I don't necessarily see him as changing anytime soon.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go next to John on the line in Janesville. John, hi.
How are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, John?
I think it's kind of funny when he brings up the fact that he's created all these good-paying jobs, but they aren't good-paying jobs. They're beginner jobs. They're like 17 an hour, 16 an hour jobs. To raise a family, you have to be in the 30s. Up to 34, 35 an hour plus benefits. None of the jobs that he's offering give much for benefits either. So why are people supposed to be happy with a $16 and $17 an hour job? Maybe unemployment is low, but you can't live on it.
John, thanks for that call. Eugene, this is a problem not just in Wisconsin, wages not going up quickly, but do you think there's something to what John's saying?
Oh, see, I think the biggest misconception in this country is the attitude that, you know, everybody should just be happy to get whatever job they can get. Where, you know, I don't know if it's my personal perspective on life, but I think you should look to get something that makes you happy, can earn you enough to feed your family and support your family, or even just support yourself. And I mean, there's a lot more to life than just working a job that, you know, pays the minimum or does the minimum. And government can help a lot in that, because unless we forget, this is an awfully rich country. This is a country that has enough money to help everybody out. So, yeah, I understand what he's saying, and I think that's an essential dilemma in America today. When Walker touts all these jobs, he's talking about a lot of jobs that, frankly, a lot of Americans, they will settle for, but those are not the jobs that they're looking to make their dream of American life come true. And it's hard for people to accept that, but that's simply the way it is.
Thanks for the call, John. We're talking to Eugene Kane, a former columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the possibility of a blue wave election in Wisconsin in November. Eugene, before we go back to our callers at 800-642-1234, in that race for governor, what, about 30% of registered Democrats in the state are currently running for governor? All right, I'm exaggerating a little. There's a big pool of candidates. Do you think Democrats are going to get somebody they can rally behind?
I don't have a whole lot of confidence in that, because I've been in the state for a while, and don't they see Democrats as having the right formula to pick in a person who is not only just popular but makes sense for a lot of people and a lot of political parts of the spectrum. But my attitude is that there's some time left, and if Walker blows it by, you know, not realizing why they are starting to lose a lot of races, he can get swept up in this blue wave, which really he would be the bluest wave of all if we could get him out of there. But, you know, at this point, I don't have a candidate in mind, which kind of makes me feel kind of risky, because you really would want to have at least more than one solid candidate in mind, regardless of how, you know, soon or far away the next election is. So I don't know. I don't feel confident that they'll be able to get him, but I have confidence Walker might screw it up by himself.
Back to our callers now. John is with us in Madison. John, hi.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to say I think the Foxconn deal is going to come back to bite Republicans. And the reason I think so is traditionally in the state of Wisconsin, there's been a dynamic of the northern part of the state, mainly white, more conservative areas, versus the southern, southeast portion of the state that's more urban, Madison and Milwaukee. The people in the northeast portion of the state are looking at that Foxconn deal, over $4 billion, and they're saying, how are those jobs going to affect me in the northeast portion of the state? it just, that's one of the reasons conservatives in this state have been resistant to spending money to help Milwaukee is because of that dynamic.
And John, I'm going to jump in because we're just about out of time. Eugene, briefly, do you think Foxconn will help or hurt Republicans in the election?
Well, my belief is that it's a bad deal because exactly what the caller was talking about. It's like they gave up too much for a promise of jobs that may not even materialize. So I think Foxconn will bite them real bad, even though I'm like everybody else. I hope there are good jobs for people where they can raise their families. I just don't think they came up with the deal for it this time. So I agree with the caller.
Eugene, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thank you for the invitation, man. Thanks a lot.
That's Eugene Kane, former columnist from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, regular contributor to the Week in Review on Wisconsin Public Radio's morning show. We talked to him about a potential blue wave in this fall's midterm elections here in the state. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we'll check out changes to the U.S. Census. Our guest says some of the controversial changes in the works could ultimately hurt red states around the country. We'll look back at the movie 2001: A Space Odyssey 50 years after it was released. Our guest says it's still worth watching, talking about, and thinking about. And on this week's edition of Food Friday, we'll talk to the author of The Runner's Cookbook, who has advice on how to cook for healthy nutrition to fuel your exercise program, or possibly advice on how to cook while running. I have to take a closer look at the book. We'll let you know that for sure tomorrow. That and look at some of the top news of the day. It's coming up here on Central Time.